Welcome back, everyone, to the part two episode of Why Am I Reading This? Make me read it. Reading Hope Never Dies by Andrew Schaefer. Now, our politics have gotten, once again, a bit steamy this past week. Biden actually stepped down from his presidential elect for his second run. So this book is kind of topical, which is weird. Crazy. Well, anyway, I'm not going to take too much time in the intro since it is just me, Chastity. And we're going to get back to it with our guest, Mike, and of course, my co-host, Andrea. So enjoy and get ready for more laughs. I'm going to start this off with a few point outs. Like I said before, this book never mentions the current president. And what I mean by that is the current president of the book's setting is never mentioned it. I mean, you can figure out who it is. The closest we get to it is a quote calling him, and this is aged, unfortunately, the tweeter in chief.
I don't know what kind of genius thought to rename Twitter.
I miss Twitter being the way it is. It's like a reverse trans name where it's like the dead name is actually X and the true name is Twitter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throughout this episode, I am going to be referring to President Joe Biden as Joe to signify that I'm talking about this buddy. Jealous due to loneliness, relatable, romantic,
Go
silly,
Joe.
Go Joe version of Joe Biden that this book made him out to be. Because I have no idea if the real President Biden is like. And for this book, I just want this to be this Joe because I would be excited to vote for Joe Biden if Joe Biden acted like this.
I'd be excited to vote for anybody under 50.
Ooh.
That's a big ask.
Feelings.
I'd be happy to vote for anybody that was born sometime in the 80s or the 70s even. I'll take 70s.
I'd take 70s. Shit.
Good God.
Ow. So through the rest of the episode, I will also be referring to Obama as Obama because that's what everyone's always referred to him as. And also I got to hear Obama's voice in my head while reading this book. Saying the most ridiculous bullshit, and I'm gonna try to have you guys do Obama impressions for certain lines. So,
excellent.
See what I can do.
Like Morgan Freeman saying titty sprinkles.
Titty sprinkles.
Have you not, Chastity? Have you not?
My name's Morgan.
Seen
Freeman.
That?
No.
Oh my God. So it's literally just this thing where it's like, it's a picture of Morgan Freeman and next to it is just a bunch of text. And he's like, and now you're reading this in Morgan Freeman's voice. Now you can make me say whatever you want. Titty sprinkles. And apparently Morgan Freeman saw that at one point and did actually read it aloud. And he said titty sprinkles. And yes, it is exactly the way you imagined it in your brain. It was perfect.
So he decides that he needs to start looking into things. He goes to the funeral where he meets this guy's daughter, who he recognizes because this Amtrak guy used to show him pictures of his daughter to be like, this is my daughter, do-do-do-do-do. And he actually remembers what the daughter looks like. He realizes his wife is in hospice, more or less, from having a stroke. They call it a hospital. It does not sound like a hospital. It sounds like a hospice. So wife has stroke, is in like just not talking, and daughter is beside herself. She's like a college kid trying to make her way. So he's like, you know what, now that I know that your mom had a stroke, even though I've never met her ever, I'm gonna go visit her because I'm Amtrak Joe.
Yeah.
No, and he goes,
jazz hands.
Yeah. And before he does that, in the middle of the night, he walks out to his backyard with Chance, and Chance runs into none other than President Barack Obama.
Huh. You son of a bitch.
And he's like, yeah, no,
it's a big
honestly.
Fucking deal.
That was kind of Joe's reaction, was you son of a bitch. And he sees Obama's new security guard. His name is Steve. Steve is a huge dick. Huge dick. He is the epiphany of snot-nosed 20-year-old nowadays that is in the military and therefore thinks he can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. And you need to listen to my authority.
Yeah.
Obama tries, like, being like, I know about your friend, Joe, da-da-da-da-da. And Joe's like, my friend's dead. End that conversation. Okay, let's go visit the mom. So mom is in the hospital.
Joe, what? I heard about your train buddy. Too bad.
Which, how Obama knows that this guy knew that guy, because they only knew each other because Joe rode the Amtrak for 40 years.
Well, but you see, Barack Obama is omnipotent.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, he knows.
The
he
stereotype knows. Of,
oh, what's that stereotype? Magical black
Snowden,
man?
Check it out.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very much he's treated like a magical black man, 100%.
They do make a few interesting race jokes throughout the book of Joe trying to, like, be like, but you're my black friend. And Obama always being like, stop it. And I'm like,
you're my blacker.
Right? Yeah, pretty much. And like,
no,
knowing
Joe,
that,
I
like,
told you can't say that. You're not allowed to use that word, Joe.
Do not. And knowing that this was written by also a white dude just made me be like, I don't know how I feel about these jokes.
It's probably self-awareness.
It was. Like I said, everything's on the tin with this book. Everything. So he goes and visits the wife, and there is a very tattooed father in the room visiting the other person, and the father is, like, awkward and, like, walks out, and Joe's like, this must have been a clue.
Oh, God.
Joe, that man went to go take a piss, Joe.
So he follows
Why are you following him to the bathroom?
So he follows this guy out and asks the nurse, like, who was that man? I need to return his Bible to him. And
I need another cup of applesauce. These pills keep getting stuck in my throat.
But the nurse actually is like, there was no other visitor. What are you talking about? And for a split second, I'm like, there was no visitor. He thought it up. But no, there was this guy snuck in. And Joe has no idea who this person is.
So he
secret,
goes...
Secret Service.
Secret. No, not Secret Service, because he could ask Secret Service. So.
No, it's the secret Secret Service.
It's the secret. Don't tell Secret President.
If anyone knows that quote, fucking email us at whyamireadingthis@gmail.com and I will become your new best friend, okay?
I love that show.
I do too. So much. So... Yeah, he talks to the daughter and he's like, I'm going to find out that your dad was an innocent man and didn't kill himself and blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So Obama approaches him and is pretty much like, hey, Joe, you're kind of acting squirrely. You wanna go figure out this mystery together? And Joe's like, fuck yeah, I do. And Steve is like, this is a bad idea. This is a really stupid idea. You are both retired. Go be retired. And they're both like, nah. Let's go be someone's problem.
Let's go do cool shit.
So they decide to start looking for clues. And a clue that they find out was that the dead guy. Oh, by the way, the dead guy's name is. Hold on. Finn is dead.
Old railway so they find Finn.
Out, yeah, old railway Finn. So they
find out he has not been staying in their house. He has been staying in a hotel. They go to the hotel, and Steve's like, "Stay here, where you're protected. I'm gonna go get the key to the room he was in." And they're both like, "Great." And then he leaves, and they're like, "Let's go to the room."
And as they're going to the room, they see a woman trying to jimmy the lock open. And they're like, jinkies, exactly.
Zoinks.
That's exactly what they did. And they go, we should investigate further. And they fall into the room where this same woman is in that room, naked and nothing but a towel. So what did they both do?
Why don't you take this one, Joe? Joe, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, No. Oh, they bluster. Man.
They bluster and are apologetic because they both love their wives, and they run out of the room. Which when Steve comes back, he's like, "I got the key." And they're like, "How'd you get the key if someone's staying in the room?" And Steve's like, "What do you mean someone's staying in the room? No one's in the room. Did you guys fucking move?"
Okay.
Oopsie poopsie.
So they get caught, and yeah, no, they should not have been leaving their fucking armored ass vehicle that Obama owns for reasons. There's a cat.
Yeah, he's been in my lap all the time. Oh, this is Peter. This is Pistol Pete.
Oh my god, I love you.
There's a cat. Hello, Fuzzy.
Oh. Say hi to the camera.
He's hating us. We love you, Pistol Pete. Okay.
So yeah, so then they find out that like no one should have been in that room, but she was naked in a towel. So
mysteries upon mysteries.
So what smells like fuck in here, Joe?
God damn it!
So what I've learned is if I'm trying to avoid getting questioned by investigators, I just need to get naked.
I think that would raise more questions.
They didn't question her.
I mean, you do have rather spectacular tits, so.
It's true. I paid a lot of money for these bitches.
You did. And they look great. They look great.
They're amazing.
So the woman gets away and they're really upset. Steve is like yelling at them because Steve sucks. And is more or less being like, you two are old men. Like, you guys are going crazy. Joe, you think you're in a murder mystery. Like, what the fuck?
Okay.
And if I was in Steve's spot, I would probably think the same thing, but
I mean, I'm not in Steve's spot and I think the same thing.
This is Amtrak Joe we're talking about.
Apparently.
So what
choo-choo Biden.
Yeah, choo-choo Biden, exactly. So what does Obama and Joe do? Obama being younger and of more sound mind than Joe? They ditch Steve.
See you, Steve.
Excellent.
Bye, Steve. Steve eats some carbs, and he's not used to carbs because he's a health nut, and he pukes for the next evening as if he's drunk.
What the fuck? You gluten wussy.
I'm not kidding. That's how they
carbs don't do that.
No, maybe it was the grease. Who knows?
Maybe.
It was weakness. It's gluten.
So they're like, where can we hide that Steve won't find us? They go back to the motel. The one that they had just, like, you know, trolloped around in. And, oh, by the way, while they were there, they found a cut-up carpet square, and below it was a blood stain.
Oh.
But Steve wants to say that it's a wine stain.
Oh, but obviously. Of course.
Yeah. So they're like, let's stay here, because he'll never look for us here. And it's literally a scene.
The scene of the crime.
Yeah, it's two grown-ass men trying to fit on a twin bed together in a nasty motel with a cockroach crawling on the ceiling as they are just chatting with each other about, and let me quote Obama.
Oh, do it, please.
You and me, we're like the three amigos, only there's two of us.
I mean...
Los amigos.
That does sound like something he would say.
Does it?
It does.
I hate it.
Me too.
Oh, no, I hate love it. I love to hate it and I hate to love it. Oh my God. Mm.
So the next morning, they open the door and Steve's there.
Okay.
So I don't understand why ditching Steve was important, but Steve's back.
They continue.
I don't know, man.
pretty much.
They keep investigating. And during all of this, they are commenting, oh no, we need to tell our wives where we are because they're going to worry about us because we're good husbands. And in order to make a point of how good of a husband Joe is and to make a point about them talking about good cars that have good back seats, because Joe wants to take his car, which is the car on the cover. He says, the first time I'd gotten intimate in a car wasn't until several decades later, during the 88 campaign. Jill and I were in the parking lots of the Iowa State Fair, waiting on my Secret Service detail. I kissed my beautiful bride on the lips, and she kissed back with a little tongue. And before we knew it, we were rounding first base in the back seat of a rental car while my personnel aide kept tapping on the window to get our attention.
Oh, we've all been there.
Okay, Mike, have you been to Iowa State Fair?
No, I have not.
Oh, fuck! Okay, well, I can't make my point then. My point was going to be, what fucking parking lot is big enough to get busy in your car?
Anywhere that you can park.
There's street parking.
It can be
if you don't give a shit.
Well, at the time, he wasn't anyone. It was the 88, like the, so...
This isn't like they're trying to do it in, like, you know, a Mini Cooper or something. Like, it's not about, like physical or anything like that. Like, they have the capacity in the car. It just has to be parked.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the second that they said parking lots of Iowa State Fair, I was like, what fucking parking lots? The one that the bus goes to? Because the bus will kick you out. Very rudely, might I add. And the only reason I can add that is because I was the one doing it. Fuck all y'all people who go to Iowa State and yell at the bus people. We're just doing our goddamn jobs and we enjoy every second of yelling at your asses. Anyway.
Tell us how you really feel, Chastity.
Oh, my God. I would try.
Same feeling when I was a mall cop.
Right?
I would try to get in fights with the big men because then they'd look down at my ass and I'd be like, what? What? What?
I'd kick out so many people jacking off into, like, clothing stores. I can't imagine them doing it on the bus. Jesus.
I hate people so much.
Oh yeah. A lot of weirdos. We can move on from that. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, we're both
if you ever want to hear mall horror stories, I got you on that. Or mall funny stories.
I already hate people.
Well, we had like bats that would, or birds that would get into the mall, and we'd have the
bats get in staff. My house. Yeah,
we'd have the cleaning staff chase them around with tiny nets.
So like, we don't have nets. Here's a precious thing: we don't have nets at my house. Of course, we should buy one actually. But sure. So every time we get a bat, my lovely little husband is literally like, "Let me take the sweater and let me go catch it." As I'm like, you are a princess.
That is the most Corbin thing I think I've ever heard.
I know.
I love your husband. He's a delight.
Oh, yes. While they were investigating, mind you, there was one part that was just lovely of Obama trying, or not Obama, Biden trying to describe Obama. And he says, and I quote, Barack placed one of his oversized ears on the door.
Sir.
Political cartoonists
had loved to mock.
I think I can hear it.
Political cartoonists loved to mock Barack's elephant ears. If only they could see him now using them for their God intended purposes.
What the fuck?
Shut up, Joe. Okay. I'm gonna use my super hearing.
Fuck.
All right, so Steve's back, and they're like, fuck it, let's go to the daughter's house and start asking her questions. So they go to the daughter's house, and while while Amtrak Joe is in there, he tells Steve and Obama, y'all stay down at the fucking end of the street because y'all bring attention. I don't. I'm Amtrak Joe. Goes to the daughter's house, and daughter's like, oh, I have someone else showing up. This is when the warm milk happened. Disgusting. Nasty. I love you. Love you. I'm sorry.
Milk. Milk, milk. 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 Milk.
Warm.
So the person that shows up, dun dun dun, is the woman from the motel.
Oh my God.
And she slaps Joe across the face with her heel. Like her.
I've seen her naked.
Yeah, pretty much.
With the heel or with the
heel.
Ah!
Bam! Joe gets beaten up to like levels of Harry Dresden style.
Damn.
In this book, mind you. Like by the end, he can't fucking walk. He has a wound on his knee this entire time that is like just growing in egg size. It's fucking ridiculous. But so yes, meets the woman and she's like, well, actually, I'm an investigator.
Oh.
I'm a private investigator. I'm
I investigated her private.
Fuck. I investigate life insurance claims because the dad had taken out a life insurance claim like 5 days before he died.
Twist.
So he doesn't like this news. He goes back to Steve and Barack, and they continue bumbling around. Like, literally, they are just bumbling around. To the point, here are some descriptions of their amazing sleuthing.
When Barack Scooby-Doo-ass
sleuthing.
Yeah, this was Scooby-Doo-ass sleuthing.
Start hearing xylophone in the back.
His voice was cool, calm, and collected. Vintage Barack Obama. Meanwhile, I was panicked and blustering. Vintage Joe Biden. Can we have them back?
Vintage. Right?
I mean, he was vintage then. He's vintage now. He was vintage before. That man was always old.
He's antique.
He really was. Another great one was they were saying that Barack was so good at talking people into things that he could even turn Helen straight. As in Helen DeGeneres. But then Barack interrupted and went, that was a joke. Sexual orientation is biological in nature, determined by your DNA, meaning it would be impossible to. And Joe had to interrupt him with, I get it.
Yeah.
Shut up, nerd. Feeling the vibe here, Obama.
They get a vibe check and get a call from Dan, the cop. Remember him from the very beginning? And he gives them more information. Honestly, he's actually being incredibly useless because his boss put him on the, what's it called when you get put somewhere else because you're in trouble?
On the bench?
Yeah! He gets put on the bench because he gave information to the last vice president and he shouldn't have. But he still does it. And honestly, that's the information he's giving them is like stupid. He's like, oh, the DEA is investigating it. Well, yeah, cool. An Amtrak train ran this man over. So that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Trains run over people all the time. It's no biggie.
Yeah, no big.
Oh, yeah, totally. Eventually, they figure out, earlier in the book, the guy who accidentally ran over Finn, he has been, like, beating himself up. So they're like, let's investigate Finn. Let's go look at this poor man who is torturing himself with mowing over his friend with a train. And they get there and he's dead.
The man who drove the train that ran over Finn.
Well, Finn died in his apartment.
Oh, so he died in the apartment and then they ran over the body with the train.
No, Finn died from train. The guy who ran Finn over died in his apartment.
Okay.
But he's dead now.
So they're like, fuck. And then they get a phone call from some deep throat ass acting motherfucker being like, come to the ice cream stand. Be alone.
Ice cream?
Meet me at the Watergate building.
Yeah. Mind you, while they're doing this, they had just illegally kidnapped a guy from a gang, from his gang, his biker bar.
What?
Because they think the gang has something to do with it. Because this new guy's dead.
Because Joe is going insane is what it looks like.
So bikers, trains, they don't make sense. Bikes don't go on the train tracks.
Yeah. So you kidnap the biker.
For trains only. People shouldn't be on them either. That's why they'd have to drive them.
Exactly.
So they're in the middle of kidnapping this guy. Barack Obama slaps this dude across the head with the back of his shotgun.
That he has randomly.
He stole it from one of the biker dudes.
Okay.
I always come packing. You'll never catch me lacking.
So they're like, okay, let's go meet Deep Throat. And they go to meet Deep Throat. And Deep Throat is that woman. It's the investigator. Oh my God.
It's a small
girl. What a shock. And she's like.
What a twist.
I'm like a really smart investigator lady.
Girl boss gaslight gatekeep.
Exactly. I've been doing this since I was 13. So. Biden's pretty much like, okay. And she's like, yeah. So like. the DEA wanted Finn. And he's like, no, I know the DEA is looking into because they're the Department of fucking traveling. So, of course, they have to look into a train wreck. And she's like, no, they wanted him for drug smuggling.
Oh.
And again, Biden's like, oh, my God, wait, my friend was a drug smuggler. What does that mean about me? What does that mean about me?
People, all these people have drugs around me, but I don't get to take them. What the fuck?
Oh, my God.
He's dying before I can get to him.
He does call a joint a weed cigarette in this book, mind you.
A weed joint?
Oh, sweetie.
A weed cigarette. It's beautiful.
That's my weed cigarette.
The DA has wanted Finn all along. They've been investigating him this entire time. So it's more and more looking like drug bust gone bad, killed himself, the end.
Okay. So Biden and Obama get in a fight.
Sounds about right for Delaware.
They get the bromance breaks up.
They start saying mean things to each other, and Joe flat out admits, like, you're with your new cool friends and not me.
The horror.
Not me.
Barack, you're a poo-poo head. Joe, you're just dumb.
So they part ways. Joe goes home. He's admitting defeat. His friend was just a drug dealer. I guess we still don't care that people were getting murdered and stuff, but
that's fine.
Whatever. This was like the breakup between 3PO and R2-D2 on Tatooine.
Like, fine, I'm going to go this way.
Yep, 100%.
So that night, he has a dream, Biden.
Oh, Biden.
And in this dream, there is a white stallion running towards him. And as the white stallion gets closer, he realizes it's a unicorn. And upon the unicorn is Barack Obama.
Yay!
And Biden turns to Obama and says, is this heaven? And Obama says, no, it's Iowa.
Where'd you get the zebra?
Fuck!
Oh, no.
He wakes up next morning and he's like, what the fuck?
Okay, I guess I'm in Iowa. He has a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. It is from Finn, even though he's dead.
Woo!
Woo! Finn had sent him a letter last week, and Biden is such an old man, he just didn't check.
Goddamn post office takes forever.
Yeah, exactly. And it's literally Finn being like, Joe, go to this Amtrak station, go pick up the duffel bag that I had there, look inside of it, that's where the drugs are.
My dearest Joe, I hope this letter finds ye well. I've been transporting drugs. Cocaine for such a time now. You'll find it tucked away in the
in Amtrak.
In drugs.
So he this
in the caboose, this, Joe. Check the caboose.
Check the caboose, Joe.
Check the caboose.
So he's fighting with Obama, his bro man, and he's like, I'm gonna go alone.
I'm a big boy. I can do this. And he goes to the Amtrak station to go get this book or this bag. And he gets in the bag and all he sees is laundry. And he's like, what the fuck? But then he sees a Monster energy drink. Actually, it doesn't say what energy drink. It just says an energy drink. But I pictured Monster. So
okay. We're going to say it's drugs. Monster.
It wasn't balls. It wasn't. Do you remember balls?
Yes.
I still get balls from time to time. You can get them on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can order a 12-pack.
Damn.
They're a little more expensive, but I get them off Amazon every now and then. It's like a little treat.
Yeah.
You can still get them in the glass bottles, cans, and there's more flavors.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, today I learned.
So anyway, yeah, he sees a Monster energy drink, and he's like, wait a minute, my man, my Amtrak Finn boy did not drink caffeine, so... And he opens it, and there's the
Finn was a bang man. What is this?
And he sits down in the train. He's like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to deliver this to the cops. And
I want you guys to guess.
Have you seen this Monster can before? My friend doesn't drink Monster.
I'm going to let you guys guess. Do you guys have any idea, after all of this, who the murderer might be?
Oh, I'm going to think it's the cop.
I'm going to say it's the PI.
Okay, so you think it's... Okay, so Andrea thinks it's the chick PI. Mike thinks it's...
The cop.
Wait, hold on a second. Wait, no, I'm now remembering a tiny little bit of information you said earlier that might be important. Something about an insurance policy that was pulled out on. So I'm probably guessing it might have been the daughter. That's the only other character you've referenced that didn't have like a stroke or something. Or Steve, yeah.
Or it could have just been suicide.
I'm gonna vote, change my vote to the daughter. Just for that little tidbit of information that I slightly recall.
Interesting.
Now, you remind me, there was something about a wife.
She had a stroke and she is in very expensive hospice-like hospital care.
Okay. I'm starting to piece something here. So maybe he killed himself for some money for his daughter to go towards their stroked mother or something along that line. Maybe it's more heartfelt than that. And Joe then finds out and he's like,
oh, he could have just asked me for some money.
I mean, honestly, he could have, because according to Joe, this is his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's not dead.
You know, it's like they don't have a couple bucks to throw around.
Just a few.
He sits down in the train to head back home.
Mm-hmm.
And who sits in front of him?
Is it Finn?
But is none other than Dan the cop.
A cab. Dan the fucking cop.
God damn it.
I killed Mike.
Yeah, just love it.
Motherfucking cop. Dan is the bad guy.
He's gone around killing everyone. He had just gotten done. He wanted to go try to kill the other guy that Joe had found. He was in the apartment the entire time. He had found him dead. So if Joe had just looked right,
he would have seen this guy.
Of course.
So they have this very Bond level train fight sequence.
Yes.
Are they fighting on top of the train?
No, they're between
between the cars.
That joke made, but they're between the cars fighting. And then
it's my turn to pull the whistle. It's my turn.
Then jumps in one of the guys from the gang. Remember how they kidnapped a guy from the gang?
Yeah.
The motorcycle gang, right?
Yes. So during this fight, Dan announces that guy's dead because he killed him too.
The biker gang guy.
Yeah. And this other biker gang guy that shows up is like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And continues attacking Biden. Now, this was a heel turn or whatever, toe heel turn. Because then a few seconds later, after Joe Biden gets thrown out of the train and catches himself barely on the thing, the biker guy grabs him and pulls him back in. Because he's a double agent from the DEA.
Oh my god, I got you, sir.
I'm really a double agent.
But I did wait for you to get thrown out the train.
Absolutely.
I couldn't blow my cover just yet. I had to wait for the right time, sir. I'm sorry.
And then this random character that appears out of nowhere gets thrown out of the train and dies.
Awesome.
Oh my.
I love it when anytime like you introduce someone who's gonna be like, oh man, this is gonna be like a new semi-important and they're dead.
Nope, dead. Dead.
Love it. I love it. Flat out dead.
And then there's a bit more fighting and the train is slowing down just in time for Dan the cop to jump out and do the loser sign on his forehead to Joe Biden just in time to also get hit by a train.
Okay. Sure.
Yep.
Looks like the 9:15's finally on time.
So the book ends with Joe is like at the stop that the train was supposed to, like the next stop that it had to stop at.
And I gotta ask, what are like about some of these locations? Like where are some of these places, are these fights taking place? Or like did it say anything at all where it says stops?
It says specific stops throughout it. And The last stop was the Joe Biden something rather. But no one calls it that.
Oh.
Okay. But that's its new official name.
Oh, man, okay.
Oh.
damn it, I needed to pull those up better. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
But yeah, so but like throughout the book they are literally saying from this street and this street to this street to that street. Ugh. To have known where they were. And then Steve shows up. Now Steve had gotten
Middletown.
Steve had gotten hurt. Yes, they talk about Middletown a lot.
I've been there.
Ah.
Steve had gotten hurt in an earlier adventure that was just not important to mention, except for the fact that Steve got hurt, because the cover of the book happened.
A much more interesting story happened with him. And
no. He's just now coming back from it.
Oh, okay. No.
Happened, like I said, the cover of the book happened.
Oh, okay.
And Joe just hits the metal to the pedal, or pedal to the metal, and Steve gets hurt, and Steve has to go to the hospital. Because Joe can't drive.
Yep.
Now,
I got the metal to the pedal.
Josh. It's getting into her brain. It's getting into Chelsea's brain now.
So Steve shows up and he's like in a sling, but he's still got a gun. And he's like, good job, Mr. Vice President. Like, we're friends now. And
oh, Mr. President, good job.
Good job, gotcha. Man. And job. Then
Dan the cop shows up. Post getting hit by a train. And Obama shows up to be like, good job, Joe. You're actually my best friend. But, you know, there's a gun and there's a guy who got hit by a train that's alive and he's trying to shoot them. And Joe jumps on Obama and
get Steve down, goes, Mr. President.
And Steve goes to shoot the guy. And now he's finally dead. At least he fucking better be. And then Joe and Barack have this heart-to-heart moment of they've always been best friends. And they've
bro,
been
a... Bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
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 Yeah.
Bro.
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 Yeah. Bro. Bro.
I guess you got bro. A good point there.
Mm-hmm. So,
if you can guess the movie that I just quoted with that, then we'll be, you know, best friends forever.
Is that... Wait, was it... Dude, Where's My Car?
Nope.
Damn it. Okay.
It was Basketball.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't think I've ever even heard of that one.
Basketball?
Matt Stone, Trey Parker's finest. One of their finer movies. Like one of their live action movies.
Oh.
It's Cannibal the Musical, Orgasmo, and Basketball. Okay. And then
Orgasmo's so funny.
Good. I'd imagine like that must be like a favorite.
Orgasmo is about a Mormon guy who is so desperate for money he becomes a porn star.
But he still stays within the Mormon values, I think, up until
it's
he fucks T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta.
It does not take itself seriously at all.
It is such
well,
a
well, I figured not.
Oh, so they have this moment of like, well, I've been avoiding you because Joe, you need to get out of my shadow. And Joe's like, well, I've been avoiding you because you have all these cool new friends.
Meh.
Are we still best friends? Yeah, Joe, we're still best friends. Are we too young or are we too old to be saying best friends? Well, whatever. We're family. We're
besties.
Family.
And then they find out that an anonymous donor, Obama, paid for everything for Finn's daughter. So now she's happy. Oh, and then the wife died.
Oh, great.
Of natural causes.
Oh, okay.
Silver lining.
Yeah. And it literally just ends with them having like a drink in the backyard, laughing about how old they are. And Joe says, I think I'm going to run again. And Obama's like, okay, I'll back you up. And he's like, no, like run, like with my legs.
I think I'm going to run with my legs.
And then I just started running.
Exactly.
And that line of like Obama backing him up really made me go,
you're my backup, Joe. Hello? You're my backup, Obama. Thanks, Joe, Barack.
Joe, don't ever say that. Joe, just
Joe,
don't
I
say
told
that.
You can't say that. You're not allowed to use that word.
Ever. And that is the story of Hope Never Dies.
What the fuck? Golf clap. From me.
Uh-huh. A lot of people die. Joe looks insane. Obama's cool.
Which, yeah.
Oh, and Steve's bitching about he wants a different job because he's tired of babysitting past presidents. And he gets it in the end. Good for Steve. Good for Steve.
What does he get?
I don't know. I don't care about him.
Okay, fair enough.
I cared about Grandpa Joe.
Oh, Sleepy Joe.
Oh, dear. So, rate this crack?
What do I rate this crack? It was good crack. It was very good crack. It's fun to read. Came out of nowhere all the time. An eight out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to read the sequel.
This is the kind of brain rot that, or the this kind of political brain rot that I think I can get behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like it'd be a buy for me at this point.
I left out quite a bit, so you could still read it.
It definitely sounds like something I'd pick up and read like during like a plane ride or something. Probably never ever pick it up again. Maybe read the sequel, but it's definitely like, you know, one time like you get that fill of just nonsense.
Yeah.
And then and that's it.
Jeez.
It's also just a good, like, I feel like this is just a good buy because as I carried it around or read it on the bus, people would be like, what are you reading? And I would be like, guys, this is
hilarious. It's just a good conversation starter.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. But would you guys read it? It sounds like Mike would.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd give that a read.
Yeah. Okay. No. No.
What?
It's the same problem I have with a lot of comedy where it's just like, what? I don't know. I guess.
It has very Harriet Porber vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I would never read that again.
Oh, I would.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you would. Yeah.
It's definitely giving me like the box. Like, you know, I know how I said, like, it was giving me, like, a Boxcar Kids kind of vibe from the beginning, like, just from the cover. I know I was definitely feeling that, so, like, I loved reading that kind of trash. Like, that's like, that kind of kid trash book reads where you're just, like,
yep.
There's a book about a bunch of kids in a boxcar that like, have a fucking, find a boxcar and solve mysteries. Like,
yep.
Fuck what?
Oh, yeah, no,
like, what time period was this even, like, could this even happen? Like, with some of that shit, like even like the fucking the Hardy Boys or whatever, it's just like who lets these kids do this shit?
Yeah,
like how do they get into these fucking, like, how do these little gumshoes get into these situations?
Oh my god,
just complete negligence by people.
Mm-hmm. That's why so, I have this like, book too.
I like that kind of brain rot kind of stuff where it's just it's goofy, it's dumb, it's schlop. It's like a good B movie,
mm-hmm.
even more like a C tier movie.
It's,
it's definitely something you'd watch once and you appreciate that someone put time and effort into making it, and that's about all you're gonna appreciate.
Yep,
yeah. I love that this exists. It's my favorite. This author has gone on to write a sequel, and he's also written a book about Bernie.
Excellent.
So Bernie has his own mystery as well.
Oh boy. This is one of those times where I wish that I was a sillier human being. I really do.
I love this. All right, so for our section of what mindset should a person approach this book with? Do not take it seriously. Do not go into this thinking it's going to be a lot of politics. It's really not. It's really
not. You will come out stupider for reading this.
Probably.
I am. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. You will. You will come out feeling stupider. You want to know how I know that? Is all day long today. All day long. I was analyzing. Like, I was literally taking real heartbeats. Like, you look at those lines. Boop, boop. Turning it into numbers. All day. For about 6 hours, okay? And that is a monotonous, but you have to be intelligent, job to do. And then I read this. And I was like, stupid again.
balm to the smart brain. Good.
It's like a consensual lobotomy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a lobotomy from Claire's. Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, no, that's kind of the gist of it all. Listeners, I would love to hear y'all's opinions on this. I'm going to put this one out here. Please no politics, like actual politics talk. Let's have stupid politics talks. Like,
yeah,
like talking about Amtrak Joe just adopting everyone into his family.
Yeah. Or like family. If you're going to make fun of people, make sure you make fun of everybody equally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I am waiting for the Trump murder mystery.
Oh my God. I hope there is one.
Oh my God, that's gonna be so. I'm waiting for the South Park episode that's gonna address
that. Oh my God, wait, that's gonna be gold.
Oh. Oh my God, I didn't even. They are gonna address it, aren't they?
They fucking better.
Like, they. I think it was like what? I thought it was like pretty. I've always liked South Park in the sense that they've always been like shoot straight down the middle of everything. Mm-hmm. It's fair game, everything is fair game. Yep. And they don't really put too much of like a message or anything in it, but they really bring to light both sides of like whatever the topic or the issue is. They bring back like both the worst of both sides and how complex the issue can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we just go with it, whatever. Like the fucking when they had like the school shooting shit. It's just,
oh God.
Like it's very tasteful in ways, at least that they address the stuff. Like at least in their way, it's tasteful in their way.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, like, fuck, kids, like, what was like when we were in high school? Like, I remember
safe.
We
didn't.
Yeah, we were safe and shit. You know, like, fuck, I'm sure there were even kids that like, fuck, because even in Texas or here, like, we was kids that go hunting and shit like right after school. So like, yeah, there were times when people were there where they had like shotguns in their fucking back of their trucks that. It wasn't a big deal.
No,
but
not at all.
It's gotten to the point where like, I remember when we started having like the ID badges and shit in school that we had all the fucking time. $120 fucking dollars. My parents got charged because they caught me like 7 or 8 times without having that badge on. They sent me immediately to the office to get a new one. And boy, did my mom fucking rip into the principal like, you couldn't just wait for him to get a different one or send him to the locker to get it?
So our school, Andrea, in order for safety, they had us wear, like, name badges.
I think I got that. I think I still have that ID or badge somewhere.
I have Corbin's. I don't have mine, but I have Corbin's.
I still got the, I think I got my 2011 yearbook here somewhere.
Oh man.
I think I might have a graduating yearbook.
Maybe. There's an old autograph book that I bought once because they didn't ever give us our yearbooks in time for our autographs. And I still remember yours. You said you wasted $12 on this book. Good for you, or something like that.
I was a ray of sunshine.
You were so happy.
Excellent. Oh man.
All right, well, that's kind of it. Mike, do you have any, like, do you have anything you'd like to share?
I think it would be a really interesting read, the way you described it. Definitely be something that, you know, the cover was at least eye-catchy. I guess the vibe of what it was going to be. And it was, you know, like I said, it was schmuck, but it was the kind of stuff that, you know, it takes you, it's like watching NCIS. You know what it is. It takes itself seriously. But it's like, fuck, come on. it's good. Like, it's when like, you know, CSI just doesn't do it for you. You need to go like down another level of I need something even worse.
I just need to remove my brain.
Yeah, it's like I need to just completely zone out on it.
Do you have any like projects or anything like that that you'd like for people to check out usually?
Not that I don't really have any.
Okay.
I have a bunch. bunch of just dumb gaming videos that I've uploaded on YouTube and shit from forever ago. They're not really worth mentioning or talking about.
Oh.
But they're just not that funny. I just don't make enough where I just like I get bored. I play a game for a little bit and maybe I'll make like some video clips of it. And somewhere I kind of find the others like after I make them, just like it's almost like kind of like post nut clarity. You're just like, why? So like a few of them got like some decent views. Some of them are kind of funny. The others are just like it's just me just messing around with Filmora and just like video editors and just kind of getting a feel for just like clipping stuff.
Oh yeah. So. Okay. All right, cool. Well, we hope that you enjoyed your time with us today.
Absolutely. This was fun. You ever need another talking head, let me know.
Cool. Well, with that, Andrea, you want to plug our socials real quick?
Sure. We are on the Instagram and the Facebooks at Why Am I Reading This Podcast? And on Facebook, we do have both a page and a group. Please come join us and check out our sister podcasts. Oh, yeah, sorry. We're also on the Clock app.
Tick-tack.
The Tick-a-tackers. Yeah, and feel free to check out our sister podcasts, F Your Favorite Character and Intrepid Assholes. For that second one, we are swiftly approaching the season finale of our Call of Cthulhu campaign. So stay tuned for that.
Is my favorite character okay? Is he good?
Yeah, he's fine.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Everybody's fine. We all got beat up, but we okay.
Okay.
Are you guys playing
Nobody's died campaign? Yet, so I'm kind of surprised.
What, Mike?
Are you guys playing a campaign?
Yeah.
Or like D&D or something?
Yeah, so this is Call of Cthulhu. Oh, cool. It's kind of like an offshoot.
Oh, cool. I just started my first my first D&D game with my buddies.
Yay! Yeah, let's join us.
They've been inviting me for like the longest time, and so I'm just like, fine. Like, I played enough Baldur's Gate 3 to where I'm just like, I can kind of...
You understand the mechanics.
I kind of have, like, a base kind of understanding of, like, the mechanics. Just like, okay, like, I just have to do this on paper now or on an app. So I'm just like, okay, this is bad. I'm pretty decent and imaginative. I got one friend that is... he makes it very interesting as the way he plays because he tries to find the most broken or overpowered way. Like anytime we play a game,
he's a min maxer.
Anytime we play like a game where like it's compared like Age of Empires or Civ or something, he'll play the most broken or most powerful race, and he'll use whatever techniques he knows or is that are broken to try and win as quickly as possible. And that's just how he plays. That's fine, but kind of sucks the fun. Out of some things, whereas I like to just be as chaotic as possible. If it's something that I think can be done or would be funny or interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we were like I was going around. I was cutting the cut some elves or some gnomes Achilles tendon. The other day with my like we were holding. I was holding him up with a whip, dangling him from a tree branch, and he was Misty stepping away so he couldn't at least run away. I cut his Achilles tendon. I was just like,
yeah.
Good
Lord.
I play like a really morally ambiguous high elf druid, so
cool.
My heart's not really in the right place most of the time, but I and it's more of like I kind of base it off of like what's his face from Clerks, where I'm just like, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, Randall.
Randall.
Dante.
Dante. Yeah. I'm trying to base the at least the personality around like just kind of like I'm not supposed to be here today and like why the fuck am I here?
I love that.
Fair enough. All right. So the question that will solidify whether or not we can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you romance in Baldur's Gate 3?
Shadowheart first.
We can't be friends. No, I'm
how
kidding.
Dare I am not shocked, but still, how dare you?
I had a feeling you were gonna say that.
Okay,
like,
now to be fair, let me explain like how we've played Baldur's Gate 3 to the point where We've gotten to Baldur's Gate in the quest line. We didn't do like the I think it's the song or whatever, songbird or whatever her shit is.
Nice song, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We missed that. We missed like some shit in the forest. And it was because they wanted to fucking reclass. We restarted like 10 fucking times. And I was just like, you know, no more. You're the only person that's been reclassing and mid-maxing your shit. Like, I just, just want to continue. And like, they were kind of making the quest a little bit, a little bit more difficult than it should be. Because like, if you're in a group, like, especially if you're fucking looting and pickpocketing everybody, mm-hmm. you can at least share the money. Say, oh no, I need to buy this thing that my character really can't use, but it'd be really OP for me to have. Like, you're not even efficient with it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. So.
Okay.
But I've gotten to the point, we're playing in the game now, and I'm learning the mechanics of it, and it's fun. I like it.
Oh, that's good. That's
awesome.
Good. Yeah, roleplay's really cool. Fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. With that, thanks again for joining us. Hopefully, all of our listeners will join us again for another book that makes us ask,
why the fuck am I reading this?
Why?
Why the fuck am I reading this?
Thank you. Excellent. All right, guys.
Bye. Bye.